I'll now call the meeting to order for February 2nd, 2016. Councillor Misapelli, if you can please do the prayer and the singing of O Canada, please.
Grant us perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides, and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action.
I also would like to note that assistive listening devices for use in council chamber are available upon request from staff at the clerk's office. I will now move on to the agenda. Are there any members of council who have a pecuniary interest? Not? We'll move forward. Any other, we got two additions here that I want to mention, add items to the agenda before we get the approval of the agenda. Please note that the presentation material for CCS regarding their presentation, and two, the bylaw to exempt a lot of part lot control provisions of the Planning Act. Okay. Okay. So we'll now move on to the confirmation of the minutes, and it's moved by Councillor Misapelli, second by Councillor Innes, that the council meeting minutes dated July 19th, 2016 be approved. All in favor? It's carried. Okay, words of recognition. Prior to the meeting, a presentation was held to facilitate a van donation from the Brampton Rotary Club to Caledon Community Services. The town of Caledon felt it was important to recognize the efforts of the town's Public Works Department in coordinating the donation between Brampton Rotary and CCS. Through the Transportation Services Program, CCS has been instrumental in ensuring Caledon residents with limited to no access to transportation are taken to their appointments. With the new addition of the van to transportation services to CCS, we are one step closer to removing the barriers to accessibility. Thank you once again to all the efforts in coordinating this great donation to our community. And if Sid Harmon, Mr. Loveridge, and Monty, can you please stand up and we'll recognize all of you. Thank you very much. Moving on, there's no urgent business on items tonight, and there's no delegations, so we're now going to move to committee reports. The first report from the Planning Committee and Development Committee dated January 26, 2016, and the first one we have is moved by Councillor Misapelli, second by Councillor Innes, that the January 26, 2016 Planning and Development Committee report recommendations regarding the consent of the item be received. Heritage Caledon Report, January 11, 2016. No questions? All in favor? It's carried. I Moved by Councilor DeBoer, second by Councilor Innes, that the January 26, 2016 Planning Development Committee report recommendation regarding confidential report DP 2016-05 regarding the advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for the purpose of litigation, including matters to be before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality. Appeal options in respect of Committee of Adjustment Decision 007-15-352 Pine Avenue be adopted. No questions? All in favor? Oh, got a question? Okay, Councilor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just have an amendment to the motion that Councilor Innes has seconded. If I could read it.
Yes.
That paragraph 2 be amended by adding the words following words after DP 26-015, and the addition is attending in support of the appeal without evidence. And the rationale for this is just so that the public knows the direction that council wishes to take, and that includes it.
Okay, and I think we're going to get the whole paragraph up here. Okay.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through two members of council, so Councilor Mezzapelli has placed this motion on the floor. Just so you're all aware of what the paragraph would look like, Barb will just place what the amended would look like.
Okay. Any questions to this? If not, I'll call the question. On the amendment. All in favor? It's carried. Now we'll go back to the full motion as amended. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Downey, that January 26, 2016 Planning and Development Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Confidential report DP 2016-06 regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for the purpose of litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality. Argo Caledon Corp. Appeal draft plan of subdivision 21-1201C and zoning bylaw RZ 12002 phase 2 12701 here Ontario Street, OMB case PL 141309, and DP 2016-01 regarding proposed Rogers Communication Temporary Telecommunications Tower, 13377 Coleraine Drive, Part 7 of Concession 6 of Ward 5. Any questions? Call a question. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer, that January 26, 2016 Planning Development Committee report recommendation regarding GT West corridor be adopted. Councillor Downey.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'd like to make an amendment that the following paragraph be added.
Okay.
That the mayor be requested to write a letter to the Minister of Transportation indicating that Dugo Avenue has been identified as a main street collector road in the Mayfield West secondary plan and that the town of Caledon supports access being granted from Dugo Avenue to Highway 10.
Okay. You have a seconder to that? Councilor McClure, thank you. We're going to get this posted. Can everybody see the motion on the board? Councilor Misipelli, did you want to speak to this? Okay, after that, that'll be fine. Okay.
All of these?
If there's no further questions, I'm going to call the vote. On the amendment? All in favor? It's carried. Just so you know, that was moved by Councillor Downey and second by Councillor Befford. My mistake. Now we'll go back to the original motion, and I see we have one question. Councillor Misipelli. And this is to the amended motion as it stands.
Correct. Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just wanted to publicly state my position, and I certainly support the amendment that Councillor Downey raised. I think that's important to get that known by the province and to state our clear position. The gist of the motion itself is indicating the province to immediately initiate the GTA West EA. I've always been very cautious of the GTA West corridor and very concerned as to its net benefit to Caledon and the region in general. I do know that the province, we all know the province has put a pause on it, and my personal preference would be for the province to indicate the rationale for that pause as opposed to just reinitiating it. For me, the information I would like to know is the why. Why was it stopped? This is basically going to the ultimate end result and saying, get it started again. So I just wanted to state that, and for that reason, I will not be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Misapelli, and I understand where you're coming from, and we have asked the minister a couple of times now to, you know, the why. We have not yet heard that. But having said that, I think the reason for the motion, I think as all of us understand, is there's been millions of dollars spent, as well as town and regional monies as well. So we've got all levels of government involved here. It's like going through a four-year degree program and not writing the final exam. So I think we need to close the gap, and I think this is what we need to do, the responsibility as a municipality. So I respect your opinion. Councillor Befford.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'd just like to comment that in the letter that we're looking at right now, it does say that failure to deliver the GTA West corridor will lead to wasted time, delayed goods. When you're speaking to the minister, if you could also bring out the importance of what the impact will be on our citizens if this road doesn't go through with respect to what's already been done. It's going to be a huge impact for our people, and I think we don't need to put it in the motion, but I think I would like you to make sure that goes with you to Queen's Park.
Thank you, Councillor Befford, and we'll take that as directed. No further. I will call Councillor Innes, sorry.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm going to reiterate some of the comments that I had made at the Region of Peel when we discussed this matter. I think that we have significant contributions made by members of our public and stakeholder groups. We've had 400 to 600 residents at a time out at these public meetings. And they're asking us to ask the province to move this forward and at least complete the EA. It doesn't mean that they're going to build the highway next year. We know what the cost is, and we know what the challenges that the province and that the feds are meeting with regards to infrastructure and transportation planning. But at least complete the EA, and so that we can have a better understanding of how to plan the southern portion of our community. And I think that this is a critical step as we're going through the White Belt visioning exercise that we have undertaken. So I think that it's imperative that we push the province to complete the EA study, and I think that they owe it to our residents and our stakeholders group. And knowing that, you know, 60% of all goods in this country travel through the region of Peel, that's significant. And we need to look at how to move these goods better and faster, and this is also an economic issue for the province as a whole. So I fully support this, and on that note, I would also ask for a recorded vote, please.
Okay, I'll pass this over to the clerk. I'm not, Councillor Innes, you're quite right. People don't realize that $1.5 billion worth of goods go through daily, and about $2 billion is generated in Peel every day. So.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called on the motion as amended. All those in favor, please stand. I see that Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Innes, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Befford, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer. Those opposed, please stand. Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor McClure. The motion carries.
Okay. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Befford, that the January 26, 2016 General Committee report recommendation regarding the consent item CS 2016-04, delegation of tax ratio setting under Section 310 of the Municipal Act, be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Next motion, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Misipelli. The January 26, 2016 General Committee report recommendations regarding the consent item be received. Accessibility of Advisory Committee report dated January 14, 2016. All in favor?
Carried.
Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that January 26, 2016 General Committee report recommendation regarding the following item to be received. EDM 2016-01 regarding Office of Integrity Commissioner Annual Report 2015. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Downey, that January 26, 2016 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Public Works 2016-01, Bolton Fire Hall and Paramedic Station Contract Award for Tender 2015-061. Centerville Creek Road, Headwaters Communities in Action Presentation Request, Association of Municipalities of Ontario Support for Municipal Climate Action. All in favor? Carried. We will now move on to presentations. I will now call upon the representatives of Calgary Community Services to approach the podium to provide a presentation concerning the overview of Employment and Development Division at CCS financial support. Also, I think we have that thing that's added to our agendas for that, correct? Okay, and you have 10 minutes.
Good evening, Mayor Thompson, councillors. Thank you very much for having us here. Normally, I would be seated in the cheap seats and let my colleagues open up the delegation, but I wanted to personally welcome Caledon's new CAO. On behalf of all of Caledon Community Services, Mike, we are very much looking forward to some creative partnerships in the year ahead with you and with your entire staff. CCS is largely known for its health and social services. Most people who are leaders in the community, like yourselves, will say that Caledon Community Services excels in its work with seniors, in its transportation program, its work with newcomers to Caledon and teaching them English, in the work that we do in the exchange on poverty reduction, food and nutrition. Tonight, we want to present a very, very different picture of our organization by focusing on a division in CCS that is a very strong supporter of the Caledon economy. We want you to see our organization in a very different light, one that I think is absolutely critical for the sustainability of CCS, and actually one that I think makes very good sense for any community that wants to boost its local economy. Contrary to the widely held opinion in Caledon that charities, CCS included, are a draw on the community with their requests for fundraising to support programs for less advantaged people and for others struggling with a variety of challenges, my colleagues will present a very different picture of CCS as a charity tonight. They will be talking about our Employment and Development Division that builds the Caledon economy rather than as a draw on it, that supports local businesses rather than asking for support, and that actually is an organization that trains a local workforce. I'm very fortunate to be able to turn things over to the Director of Employment and Development, Kathy Perenick-McLean, and to Sharon Hussein Swanton, a jobs developer with employment and an employment specialist.
Hi, everyone. As Monty referenced, CCS is a multi-service organization. As Monty referenced, CCS is a multi-service organization. We've grown substantially in the past few years and through hard work and a belief that Caledon needs local responses to local challenges. Tonight, Sharon and I want to tell you about CCS that fewer people know. The CCS that is a builder of local economy, a strong friend of local business, a different kind of charity that does a heck of a lot to support the Caledon business community. Here's our menu of services. They're all deliberately connected. We've eliminated siloed thinking across all divisions, and we work very closely with Geraldine Aguiar, Health Services, Michelle Vino in Community Resources, and Denise Henderson in Finance. We're quite the matrix. The impact of these connections means that our clients get a full service spectrum when they seek any kind of support from CCS. What's often not talked about is the impact that our programs and resources have on Caledon business. We inject all kinds of supports to the local business community and support the economic development of Caledon. The Employment and Development Division does many things. One of the most important is that we support skill development in the areas of job readiness, career development, job search and retention, job maintenance and career enhancement, employment-related skills, language skills, entrepreneurial development, and service coordination and referral. These things are for people wanting a career change, opening a business, or looking for work. Then there's the other end of services that support the business community in the form of consultations, recruitment support, online resources, financial subsidies to hire and train, and workforce support placements. At CCS Employment Services, we understand that businesses are constantly changing through growth and expansion, launching new products, or downsizing to become more efficient. Our employment services offer many employment-related resources and placements, training, and wage incentives for business. There's a lot of options, but not to worry. Our job development team is available to guide employers to the resources appropriate to their needs. Some interesting facts I wanted to share with you tonight. As this current year to date, we have already arranged 23 adult job placements, totaling $48,472 in subsidies committed to locals' businesses. As part of the Youth Employment Fund, which ran from April 2014 to August 2015, CCS arranged for 30 youth placements totaling $125,758 in subsidies committed to local business. Jobs Caledon and Caledon ESPEC, the names of CCS's business services, provide Caledon's business community with many services, including consulting, online job bank, job matching, placements, and financial incentives. Our Jobs Caledon Employment Services also supports job seekers, working through client service, their planning, coordination of what their needs are, resources and information, job search, job matching, job training and retention, and referral to other programs within the Employment Ontario network or what other resources they need. Some notables here is that we had 896 new clients registered with Jobs Caledon in 2015. 277 clients reactivated their account with us, which means they had been away for 3 months or more. We welcomed 1,422 unique visitors, totaling 5,349 visits to our centres. We had 836 people attend our Jobs Caledon workshops, and 131 people participated in our job fairs. This one impresses me, but our Jobs Caledon web pages entertained 29,855 page views, and that's only looking at the top 15 pages. So that was pretty cool. Sharon, do you want to come up?
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to speak to you about some of the resources that we offer to our business community in Caledon. So, first of all, we do have our online job bank. So we offer Caledon businesses the opportunity to post their job postings online via an interactive website enhancement. This has been embraced by our business community. As their businesses grow, we continue to support them. Currently, our online job bank has 2,069 registered job seekers, as well as 422 registered employers. Also, I just wanted to make note that in 2015, we've had over 360 job postings on our job bank. Additionally, our job bank and website enhancements will be following soon. With regards to our Youth Job Connection program, there has been a great deal of investment made by the Province of Ontario to support youth. We are pleased that CCS was selected to be one of four providers in Peel to facilitate the Youth Job Connection program. The Youth Job Connection Program offers support to youth ages 15 to 29 who are not in work, school, or training, and who need help finding and keeping employment. Employers who want to participate in the job matching portion of the program must provide on-the-job training to a young participant for a maximum of 26 weeks, as well as commit to giving training to the participant and helping them to develop their skills and knowledge. Substantial financial incentives are given to employers to offset costs associated with training and supervising participants. For young people, the Youth Job Connection Program consists of a paid pre-employment training, as well as workshops and activities, paid job placement, as well as ongoing coaching, which is benefiting both to employers and to the participants. Also, the Youth Job Connection has a summer component, which is directed to youth aged 15 to 18 years and returning to school in the fall. Another program we have recently launched is the Canada Ontario Job Grant. This program provides direct financial support to individual employers wishing to purchase training for their employees. It is available to small, medium, and large businesses with a plan to deliver short-term training to existing and new employees. CCS will provide up to $10,000 in support per person for training costs, require employers to contribute one-third of the total cost of training. There is additional flexibility for small businesses to provide in-kind contribution towards their share of the cost, with the training taking place in Ontario. So far this fiscal, CCS has committed $32,463 to Caledon employers under the Canada-Ontario Job Grant. Also, quick note about apprenticeships. We could also help facilitate apprenticeships within our community. Employers could receive a financial subsidy for on-the-job training costs in addition to a $2,000 apprenticeship sign-up bonus. With regards to our Second Career program, just make a quick note of this. Second Career helps laid-off workers benefit most from training to find work. It also includes skills training as well as financial support for individuals and job seekers looking to change jobs because they've been laid off from their previous employment.
Just wrap up real quick because we got the information anyway.
Okay, absolutely. So thank you. Appreciate that. So as you know, we also operate the Caledon Small Business Enterprise Centre, and we've been very pleased with our success so far. In 2015, just a couple of interesting things is we've handled 321 inquiries, 45 consultations, and we've also had 12 businesses start. So that was some highlights for that. The Life for Youth program, which many of you are probably familiar with, is also a youth employment program, which we continue to offer. Throughout the program, participants receive supportive job coaching and gain the ability to successfully discover their marketable skills. Our LINK program provides language instruction for newcomers to Canada. It's a program that has been running since 2007 at Caledon Community Services, and we are very pleased as classes grow each day. In closing, our organization... Our organization's vision is a healthy, engaged, compassionate community for all. The Employment and Development Division pursues that by focusing on local economy, both employers and employees. We provide resources and create opportunities for local businesses to thrive and Caledon residents to secure employment. Partnerships are key. I know that Monty and our board of directors are looking for ways to increase our partnership with the town of Caledon on many levels, and we're hopeful that in the year ahead there will be more opportunities for us to work closely with the town of Caledon. We thank you for your support. And if you have any questions, we're happy to take them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation, and it's good information, and the sheets are very explanatory, so thank you very much for your delegation. I have one question. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Mayor Thompson. It's actually not a question. I just wanted to thank you for coming as a member of the board of CCS. Every time I hear a presentation, I am notified of one more thing that you do. So it's fantastic. Thank you for all the work that you do. And I think, as you mentioned in your last slide, it is incumbent upon us to spread the word and lead the way and let people know in our every corner of Caledon what CCX actually is doing and the great benefits it has for our community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your annual checkup. Oh, Councillor Befford. Oh, hold on. I got one more.
Yeah, very quickly, in addition to everything you've talked about, you do something else, and that is provide bus service for our hockey tournament that we had in Alton. And to have the CCS bus running the streets of Alton with your logo on the side was absolutely terrific, and I'd like to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, it's all good news. Thank you very much. I will now call on Thomas Fisher, the Regional Vice President for Brampton-Caledon, on behalf of Habitat for Humanity GTA, to approach the podium and provide a presentation requesting the consideration to be given to waiving of required fees. Please note, yes, as you know, you've got 10 minutes, Thomas. It's all yours.
Thank you. I really appreciate Mayor Thompson, really appreciate being here, and members of council. It's always great to address you. And I think the first thing I want to do is just thank you. I can't help to always think how privileged our community is to have you support us with regard to land and just advocacy and all those kind of things. So that's kind of the first thing that I wanted to do, is just to let you know how much I appreciate it. Without you, we really couldn't serve the families that we serve. And so this is really important. I wanted to spend a little bit of time today also talking about our current projects and the projects that we're working on right now with some images, and also talk about a project that we're going to be moving into here in Caledon. Okay, help me with this, sorry. Thank you so much. So on the slide that you see in front of you, I'm looking back from 2004 to 2014. It's 10 years. We helped six families, bungalow to semi-detached heritage home. It was great to see the heritage celebration outside before council. And also you'll see Hoskins Square, which is three units there, three families. But it was interesting. Over 10 years, we helped six families. And as I look into the future, as I look from 2014 to 2018, over 4 years, we will have 41 homes in the pipeline. 10 of them will be here in Caledon. And so I'm just excited about the capacity growth, the partnerships, not only with the community, but with our local municipalities and with this council here. And so that's 47 families since 2004, since I've been part of the organization. Just an amazing accomplishment. It's just very, very exciting as we kind of go down the road of making a difference to families where home ownership is really difficult to come by these days. And so here's an image of kind of our most recent project, the Torbram project in the works. It's the largest project today, 18 homes. But what I want to, I guess, share with you on this slide is it's made up of the community coming to help us build. The whole project, other than the trades, the electricians, the plumbers, it's all built by volunteers. And you see a large group of 60 staff members from Roche there in the middle of 2015, you know, they're just having a blast. They're up on scaffolding and just having a great time. We've had municipality of Brampton staff there, the Region of Peel staff, councillors, and everyone is there to have a great time. And so I would welcome you as we move forward to doing a project here in Caledon, which I see happening just after the middle of this year. I would just love to have you on site and just participate in this great project that we're going to be doing. This here is an artist rendition of the project that we're working on right now. Very, very exciting. We've had finished eight of those homes, and you know, every time families move in, I can't tell you the feeling. You know, I'm not sure here how many here have been at a dedication where we hand over the keys to the families, but the feeling is unbelievable. It's a feeling where the families just like we've had a couple of families sing right kind of to us, and it's that feeling of like, thank you. We couldn't have home ownership without everyone coming together, and so it's just a celebration of the community coming together. The next slide that you see there is the upcoming Caledon project, and once again, thank you, because it's land that is between our mission and actually helping families. That is the difficult part. And 10 townhomes are to be built on a piece of land on Kennedy Road, Old Kennedy Road. And you see there in front of you a site plan. And right now we're in the midst of working on engaging the community. You may have received some correspondence from some of our staff on how do we come together, how do we make a difference and bring the community together to, so I would call like barn raise, right? Everybody coming together to make a difference. And that's everywhere from volunteers to trades, to services, those kind of things, asking for support in reduction in costs. And so finally, my last slide here is really on the side of asking for support as we move on. And I know I've spent some time with staff this afternoon. I know they don't have answers to this at this moment, so I'm very comfortable if this gets referred to staff. But my question and my request or ask of you is that Habitat for Humanity GTA would hereby request the Town of Caledon Council's consideration in respect to grant in lieu of development charges for the Kennedy Road project, and secondly, waiver of all application fees and permit costs related to Kennedy Road project. And once again, thank you so much. I very, very much appreciate your partnership.
Councillor Bedford.
I didn't know very much about Habitat for Humanity, but recently I've had some friends who have been actually working on your Clark Boulevard and Torbram units. And two things come to mind. One of the stories that they've been telling me about how they work all day with school kids, with business people, how the lunches are donated. The scheduling must be unreal, but I guess what came out most of all was a sense of pride. And it wasn't just a pride of the building, it was also the pride of watching the people as they went into those homes, some of whom were actually going into the unfinished units and helping the people who were helping. So I just have to say thanks to you.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you so much, Doug. I appreciate that. I must concur. It's a great feeling. I mean, I've gone and served lunch a number of times just to the volunteers because sometimes you're humbled so much about what they do and how they make a difference for us.
Okay, Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you very much for coming this evening, Thomas. And I just wanted to actually publicly thank you for your work on the CAFI board as well. I know if Councillor Gross was here, she would say the same thing. You brought just a shot of energy to that table, so thank you for that. I'm really excited about this project in Southfield Village. I think it will be fantastic, and I look forward to supporting you any way I can. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Thomas, I'm going to say before we leave here, and it's not a question either, but I know three attempts. You know, and I think this time I think we've got something that's pretty cool. So we've got here, but I know we've tried to make a couple other sites work. This is something I've been extremely passionate about in this first phase. But through our development agreements, we also have the same thing now happening in phase two of Mayfield West as well. We need to figure out, again, it was collaboration is what I said earlier with CCS and Rotary on how we got a bus for our community. I think collaboration working with you or Habitat Humanity is affordable housing. I know it's a lot of talk, and I've heard it for 13 years now on council is, you know, it's affordable to who? This is really putting money where your mouth is, and I think this is a good investment. I know our staff are going to go away and we're going to come back with a report, but I know we're going to be extremely diligent to see what we can do and collaborating with you guys to start to find affordable housing here in Caledon for people in home ownership. And for some of you maybe don't know is one of the first pictures that he showed, the heritage semi-detached house, was the house that my grandmother grew up in. It's the old Elliott house on Tarbram Road that's moved up. And again, that was collaboration with the development industry because the house was in really good repair. And you know, it's a big house, but now you got two families living in it, and the place looks great. And I generally scoot up from the region all the time to town hall. For some of us now as regional councillors, we know it's not very many stoplights in Tarbram, so you can scoot up the road pretty good. And so I constantly look at the house every time I go by and how it's restored. It's good to see from the memories as a kid. It's good to see that. So I know you've had a meeting today, but I know our staff are going to work with you, and I know we have more projects coming forward, but I think this is a good solution for the time being until the other senior partners of the federal and provincial finally get back into the housing market, it's going to be very difficult to find affordable housing in any other way, and I think Habitat does a good job. I don't know if you want to say something about that or not.
No, my time is probably, well, they actually stopped my time, so and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Like I said, it all starts with land. That's where it starts, and it starts with our support pre-build. 50% of our costs are right up front before we get in the ground, so thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. And I do know our CEO, he came from Kitchener, and they're great innovators in doing their own, especially for seniors through the Schlegel Group and different ones. A lot of that all started in Kitchener, so he'll have some great expertise to bring to the table, I'm sure. So anyway, thank you so much for your delegation.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll now move on to announcements. Starting with the acting mayor, Councillor Mizzapelli, do you have any announcements? Councillor Shaughnessy or anybody else? Okay, I'm going to move on from that. Council inquiries. I'll start with Councillor Mizzapelli again. Do you have anybody else for council inquiries? No, we're good. Oh, Councillor Shaughnessy.
I'm not sure if we want to have it here or not. Unfortunately, Heather just left. I've been speaking with the recreational department, and I'm wondering if this could be given as direction. We had the motion about the review of the grant program, but we didn't ask for a lead, and the recreational department thinks because they actually manage the whole process and they're the ones that deal with the people that they should take the lead on this. So can that be given as direction?
I'm going to turn to the CEO for a little bit of direction.
Direction that the correct department.
Through you, Mayor. I think that typically, even though a vast majority of the granting process in most municipalities I've seen probably do have to deal with parks and recreation, I think from my experience, I'd suggest that the clerk's department and finance work together on developing the actual policy structure. I think that what they'll do regardless is they'll work together with multiple departments trying to establish that policy, but it really is not just one department versus the other. I think that just to let me finish, my suggestion would be is that if you wanted to have some direction that a staff working group of multiple interested parties, I could certainly request staff and direct staff to form that working group to establish those policies. Just having one or the other, I'd just be concerned that...
It's not one or the other.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It wasn't one or the other. It was the Parks and Rec wanted to take the lead. It wasn't to exclude the finance end of it. They just wanted to take the lead because they actually deal with all the people through that whole process. And we've already have the motion that we're going to review the process. So it's just, but it was unclear on that, on who should take the lead. And the Parks and Rec Department says because they're the heart and soul and they're the ones that deal with the residents that they would take the lead. So
I think he's got that. If we need more,
I just want to understand the direction.
Yeah, I think the direction I'm hearing is you want the policy back, and that one of the main players at the table should be Parks and Recreation. So that's certainly the way we would proceed, regardless, because I think in these types of initiatives, you got to have multi-departments at the table to develop sort of a holistic policy. So in my estimation, not having all the information yet, is that it's going to be clerks, it's going to be finance, it's going to be Parks and Rec, putting their heads together to try to develop a renewed or refreshed policy on grants.
Yeah, I'm just saying somebody has to come back with, I'm just going by what Laura Johnson said to me. She said somebody has to come back and be the lead on it, Barb, and I'm not, so Mr. CAO, I'm not excluding the others. I'm just saying somebody has to take the lead, and if they were going to review it, it's the heart and soul that was missing out of the process.
Okay. I think we got that.
Okay.
Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I just think that with the resolution that was put forward, I think staff completely would look at it holistically from all the departments. The lead in it has always been finance. They were the ones that developed the policies with staff, with council input the first couple of times. So I would think that they would be. But I agree with the CAO. He's going to look at it and the clerk, and they're going to make sure the right departments are involved in the whole process. I don't think one department should have ownership over it than another.
Okay. All right. No further inquiries? Okay, I'm going to move on to the next. Move by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the following bylaws be read first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2016-009, bylaw to designate certain lands leased from the Toronto and Region Conservation Authority, TRCA, as municipal capital facilities. Bylaw 2016-010, bylaw to designate certain lands, namely the Terracotta Community Centre, as a capital facility. Bylaw 2016-012, bylaw to exempt Lot 61, Plan 43M-1801, as part lot control provisions of the Planning Act. Okay, all in favor? Carried. Following move by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Misapelli. The following bylaw be read first and finally passed. Bylaw 2016-011, bylaw to repeal and adopt the council expense policy to establish corporate budget to be used by members of council to repeal the bylaw 2009-0104. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had some concerns about this. I have concerns because this is leaving a legacy, and the interpretation here is that everybody got a raise when it wasn't. That was the expenses that we would normally incur as councillors being rolled into it, and I would like to have seen that this bylaw actually reflected that, because I know my residents and I know Annette's residents will look at this the way this is written and say this is a raise, which it is not. It was strictly remuneration. So I don't know if there's any interpretation here or any changes that could be done to reflect that. I mean, Mr. Mayor, it looks like you just got a raise to $82,000 and you didn't, because your expenses that you run your office at got added onto that. And I think it just reflects poorly. So my suggestion is that this gets changed. And my other suggestion was also that this feels really close. I don't like that. Sorry. My other suggestion is that we divide off the corporate policy from the actual bylaw and review it at general committee. I'll say why, because some of the wording was actually changed from the existing bylaw or the existing corporate policy. And I guess I'm being a stickler here, but fact is that when we change things, I personally think there should be a strikeout and then the replacing wording, because I go through this and I've scratched it up, but I don't know what words were changed and what weren't changed, and I think it's not fair to council to not have something that's a little bit clearer. So if this could be divided off where we could actually bring it to committee to discuss, I think that would be great, because the original report asked to review expenses and what else, and remuneration and the per diem is sitting in this now that it wasn't in the other one. And to me, that's that's either an expense or remuneration, one or the other. I just think there's a lot of things here unclear. And I think it's archaic, and I think we could do some of our own tweaking. But the fact that I have something before me that I don't know what words were taken out and what words were added in, I couldn't support putting my name to something like that.
Ms. Tollett, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. How much changes have been made from when we first moved it to final report?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. The original policy, I took the original policy and took out the stuff that are no longer applicable based on the report that went back in December. And then we basically just renumbered the lines and consolidated some areas where we can consolidate. But the wording of the original policy, it was still there. So the per diem you're referring to is when you travel for conferences or have you, and that hasn't changed. Those wordings haven't changed. The things that we are no longer having in the budget, like the public relations or the mileage, all has been removed. And then we've basically renumbered the policy. I can certainly sit down with Councillor Shaughnessy and go through it to go show you what has changed from before and after. But basically, it's just taking the report from December and adding those changes into the policy.
The clerk told me herself that some of the words were changed, and she thinks they're minor, but what's minor to one is not minor to another, and a lawyer will tell you that simple word changes can change intent. And the fact is that we didn't look at per diem, so, and that's part of the expense or the remuneration, whichever way you want to look at it, and it's just really out of date. I'm just thinking that it should have come to general committee. That's what general committee is about.
Through your worships, members of council, I would recommend that right now, so you did make a decision in December regarding your council expenses. The direction at that time was to amend the bylaw, because your council expense policy has been adopted in the past by a bylaw to reflect those changes. At any time, if a notice of motion comes from, and the majority of council wish to look at the entire council expense policy, including your per diems, that could always be managed. But at this time, I'd recommend that it's still that council adopt the bylaw in order to put into effect the changes that you adopted in December. And then if you wish to relook at the entire policy, and then if council wishes to do that, we could do it at that time.
Do you need a two-thirds vote to do that?
Thank you, Your Worship. I will have to think about that. I can't answer that right now.
Okay. Councillor Misipelli? Or Councillor Shaughnessy?
Sorry, I left my light on.
Yep, that's okay. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I respect Councillor Shaughnessy's position and the intent of what she's trying to do. And I did ask the clerk, and I think Ms. Tullock gave a very concise response. The items that the expense policy was, we gave direction to have that modified, and we went through that exercise. And so that was kind of extracted from the policy. We hashed it out and came up with what we did. The balance of the corporate policy that it rests within remains the same. And so with that understanding, I am comforted that the only changes we made are the ones that went through the exercise, and that they were just reinserted into the existing policy, and nothing on that side has changed. So respectfully, I am satisfied that we went through the exercise that we intended to and just reinserted those changes into the existing policy. Thanks.
Okay. All right. No further questions? Okay, I'm going to call a question. All in favor? For me? The bylaw, yes, the bylaw as stand. All in favor, please. Opposed? Thank you. It's carried. Yes. I think that's a fair comment. We'll do that. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Beffert, that the following bylaw be read first time and finally passed, that the bylaw 2016-013, a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the Council for the Corporation of the Town of Caledon at its Council meeting held on the 2nd of February 2016. All in favor? Opposed? Carried? Councillor McClure, you want to move adjournment? Second by Councillor Misipelli. All in favor? Carried.